The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Meyer.
Good morning. Welcome to Friday, October 25th, and we're at pretty chilly 37 degrees for sure, up to the low 70s for later. What's on your mind? 770-563-3770-KMED. We got a few minutes before we end up having the Rick Manning D.C. Swamp update that we have every Friday morning, and no doubt we'll be talking about all sorts of D.C. news, kind of how the race is going. Like I said, it appears to be, you know, guardedly optimistic about President Trump. It's always about how does the count go. It is interesting, though, that the Harris administration, well, the attempted Harris administration, I guess the Biden-Harris administration or the Harris campaign, continues to kind of step in it. I don't know if it's just the dumbest campaign in history. I mean, not that, you know, there's always been problems in some campaigns. No one's ever perfect there. But when you have a situation like Vice President Kamala Harris admitting, and this is from Blaze Media, Vice President Kamala Harris admitting during an interview on MSNBC that she wants mass amnesty for the millions of illegal immigrants who have come to the United States during the Biden-Harris administration. And this was when she was talking to Telemundo, naturally, and the host was grilling Harris on her plans for addressing this issue. And the thing is, the host ended up saying, and this was how it went, I have a transcript here, Democrats aren't talking about a pathway to citizenship, which of course is mass amnesty anymore. Kamala says, I am. I'm talking about it. And then the host says, we're talking about mass deportations. Kamala says, I'm not talking about it. Host says, well, what's your stance there? Mass amnesty. So she actually said the quiet part out loud. So the 10 to 12 to 20 to 30, you know, it's like there is a cost to these electoral choices we have coming up. I mean, not that I need to probably remind you, but it's real. Okay. It's real. Meanwhile, another breaking news, Florida Attorney General Ashley Moody suing U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland, arguing that the Department of Justice is blocking the state from fully investigating the second assassination attempt of former President Trump in Palm Beach. According to the complaint, FBI and DOJ officials acting almost immediately to try halting the state's investigation. Just amazing. Gosh, just kind of going back to my interview with Donald Jeffries yesterday. Remember the guy that was doing all the hidden history? You know, he has the book American Memory Hole. That just about any time you hear the government, you know, all your reports that are coming in from the government sources about what they're actually up to, they're lying. Well, even look at what's happening here with Ron DeSantis' administration suing Merrick Garland because they're blocking the investigation. Why wouldn't Merrick Garland want people to get to the bottom of the assassination attempts? Why? There wouldn't be any politicization of the law enforcement process here, huh? And meanwhile, from X, polling indicating the Californians are tired of rampant crime. They want to see criminals punished. Okay. So I guess what the solution to crazy liberalism is crazy liberalism. You have enough crazy progressive, no punishment liberalism, and then people finally say, let me up, I've had enough. Nearly three quarters of the California electorate plans to vote for a high profile ballot measure that would increase penalties for some theft and drug related crimes, according to a new poll released this week. About three fourths of likely voters said they would support Proposition 36. Of course, you know, knowing the progressive courts, though, they would end up throwing it down. Or they would end up, you know, throwing that out, just like they did with no benefits for illegal immigrants that people passed in California. But, hey, you know, there's hope. There's hope that people left in California, maybe they want a few changes. But if they're going to keep working for the Democrats that enact these policies, then nothing changes. If you're going to keep, you know, voting for the D, it's probably not going to help there all much. All right. Some stuff going on around here. Marine Board closer to adopting new rules for motorized boating on the Upper Rogue. Of course, we're talking about the jet boats. This has been the big thing. This actually happened Wednesday. We didn't get a chance to get to that. They announced that on Wednesday. And so the Marine Board has proposed rule changes that could affect both private and commercial boats. Daily Courier reporting that commercial tour boats, now redefined as charter boats, can operate between 10 to 5, no more than 300 trips per year. 300 trips per year, that's less than one per day, actually. So it must be a Monday through Friday kind of thing, the way they're looking at this. And this would be upstream of Table Rock Bridge. Alan Hansen, who is the Policy and Enviro Program Manager, reports it limits the hours of operation so there can't be large boats above Table Rock. I guess they're going to be having some more rulemaking on this. They'll be looking for public comment, and we'll help you figure out more on that here as time goes on. But it looks like they are going to get some kind of control, some kind of handle. The main thing, though, is that, in my opinion, they have to keep it open for everyone. The river is not just for kayakers. The river is not just for swimmers. The river is not just for small boats. I mean, everyone should be able to have a crack at being able to use the river. The river is our highway. It's our right. It's our birthright in the state of Oregon that citizens have access to this. Okay? All right. 770-5633 to join in. We have a little bit of time before Rick joins me. We have some other news to touch in on, too. We also have Mr. Outdoors who will be coming up here. Richard Emmons joining me from the Oregon Eagle. We'll talk about the latest going on there. And he has a thought-provoking article in there. Has Oregon truly become a one-party state? We'll kick that all around with a bunch more and your calls.
We're thrilled to on Bullock Road in Medford. This is Randall with Advanced Air, and I'm on KMED.
19 after 6, 770-5633. Some emails of the day. Emails of the day sponsored by Dr. Steve Nelson, Central Point Family Dentistry. CentralPointFamilyDentistry.com. While you wait, crowns available. Good people over there. Central Point Family Dentistry is just, it's on Freeman Way. And you'll find it right next door to the Mazatlan Mexican Restaurant. So you see that, and boom, right next door. And then get your teeth worked on. Very good people. CentralPointFamilyDentistry.com. Betty Martin writes me this morning, says, Bill, so KOBI Television had the river story a couple of days back, and they had the story by Taylor Tupper. And she is the media and press for the Klamath Tribes. This is about, remember, folks, we've been posing a few questions about the about all of a sudden the magic fish appears, they take the dams down, there's no way that the magic fish could remember places that they haven't been able to go to for more than 112 years, but everyone is talking about the amazing fish that made it up there, and oh my gosh, it's being restored, and the tribes are going, oh, this is wonderful, manna from heaven, you know, all the rest of it, and everyone's trying to declare victory over what is obviously, if you're actually at the river, an amazing amount of environmental destruction. And up on KMED.com on the Bill Maher Show blog, you can actually look at the water test from Grants Pass Water Lab on the water from Happy Camp. This was at the Happy Camp right there in the middle of the channel that was taken. This is like 2-3 weeks ago. And I'm sure it may be a little bit different now, but now we're starting to get some more rain. But you know, we're talking about just incredible amounts of silt and turbidity, 1,800 times the allowable level of aluminum in the water. And it's like, I'm like joking. It's like any fish that are making it up the river are already wrapped in aluminum. They're already pre-baked in aluminum foil for you, ready to put on the grill, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah, I know, I'm just having a little fun with it, with a serious situation. But, you know, they blow this up. They have all of this slimy stuff going down the river, and they're wanting you to believe that the fish just swam through it all and made it up here to spawn. I'm not buying it. There may be a fish there, but what we don't know is how the fish got up there. The odds that the fish got up there naturally and then wanted to go into Jenny Creek because it spawned in Jenny Creek is just very, very, it's slim. Slim pickings, all right? So what Betty says, well, anyway, the story by Taylor Tupper, the media and press for the Klamath Tribes. My daughter Jody went to school with her in Chiloquin, Oregon, back in the day. Oh, did I mention my girls are Klamath and Modoc Indians? Their mother is a Western Cherokee. Oh, I didn't know that, Betty. Thank you for letting us know that. But anyway, Jody heard through the grapevine that they planted the fish and most of them died. So now after that insane photo of the fish or the other day, there has to be some way to make KOBI do responsible reporting instead of allowing the lies to continue. I don't think that KOBI or KDRV or anybody else are, it's not about responsible reporting. It's about a lack of curiosity. They just pretty much take what comes in there. And of course, I don't know, Betty, have you actually watched television news here? in Southern Oregon. Have you ever watched it? And you notice how most of the people are 12 years old and, you know, just got out of journalism school. And the focus, my opinion is that they probably don't want to focus on a lot of the hard news. A lot of it is mommy and me. Oh, it's the Ashland 150th anniversary. Everybody's down here getting face painted and things like that. This story about the Klamath, that's actually a hard story. That's a hard story to get involved in. And a lot of the TV viewership would be very upset if KOBI would be out there and KDRV and everybody else would be talking about the non-approved narrative. The non-approved narrative would be that, gosh, you know, it's throwing a lot of garbage down the river. Shouldn't we be talking about this environmental travesty? How are the fish going to make it up there? How did the fish ever make it up there? How did the, you know, if the dam was keeping the fish from going, you know, up above Iron Gate, how was it that the lava bed didn't keep the salmon from going up before the dams were there? You know, there's just all sorts of questions you're not supposed to ask. And I'm sure that, you know, when you got 12-year-olds in the newsroom, what do they know about this kind of stuff? There's absolutely no, there's no institutional memory. And this is just, I think, some of the changes in the media. They're, you know, you have to hire new people. And everyone's a kid in, you know, the new person on the block at first. Everyone's there. But I don't know if you've noticed that you have fewer veterans that are on a lot of the news teams these days. And so you have a lot of young people. They probably look better on camera. Let's face it. Gosh, what was his name? Ron? He was a reporter, died a number of years ago. Great guy. Ron. What's his last name? It just escapes me at this point. But he worked for Newswatch 12 for years. Ron Brown. There we go. God, just finally came to me. Ron Brown was there for what? Like 30 years, right? 30, 35 years. Saw everything. Even worked at KMED in the old AM TV days when there was KMED TV, you know, Channel 10. And it was out there on Ross Hanley Drive. But he had seen everything and heard everything and talked to everybody. And yeah, he was, you know, an old hand and remembered all this stuff. He remembered more than just what happened maybe 6 months ago, had a longer memory. There's very little of that left right now in a lot of Southern Oregon newsrooms. And I think this just has to do with the economic pressures of the news world. So I'm not trying to throw everybody under the bus on this one. But when you have someone that comes out that one day is reporting on, hey, they're face painting at the 150th anniversary of the city of Ashland. Oh, aren't we happy? Isn't this hard hitting? And then you're going to actually question the Klamath, you know, the tribes and the people involved with the KRRC, because after all, they've been inculcated in journalism school that you have to trust the experts. Experts. And who else would be an expert? Why, the experts would be KRRC. KRRC, the expert. A company that never did anything productive before and was only formed to blow up dams. Remember, the original plan for the Klamath Dam removal, that whole consensus process, was that they had to dredge it first. They had to dredge all that garbage and goop out of it before they blew it up because they were concerned about water quality. Well, that was too expensive, so they just decided to hell with water quality. They blew it up anyway. And so the water quality really sucks right now. And then you can't have the people that were talking about, well, we're the experts and we're out here in front of all of the news cameras. They know that the people behind the news cameras are 12 years old, just got out of journalism school too because we're small market, you know, down here. And they go, oh, okay, here's the fish. This is wonderful. Okay. And then it's dutifully reported. It's news by press release. And we all do that from time to time. You know, it's like, I get a press release in there, and a lot of times I'll take what they say at face value. Other times I'm going like, I don't know about that. But that's what goes on. That's what goes on. And until there's a way to change that economics of reporting local news, I don't know where that goes right now. So I'm not trying to throw anybody under the bus, but when you have 12-year-olds and everybody's out of journalism school and you're just getting in there and you look good on camera, but other than that, you don't really have much institutional memory about the community, what can we say? What you'll end up getting. Shirley Brooks writes me this morning, "Hey, Bill, I'm wanting your thoughts on Measure 15-235. It centralizes power within the city manager in Gold Hill. The plan is to do away with the city recorder, which is the checks and balances. The city manager makes $110,000 a year plus benefits." That's Lily Morgan, by the way. She received at least one extra payment last year, which was sizable and didn't report it. It came out in an audit. I feel there's a radical movement about in Gold Hill. I implore you to take a look at 15-235 and say something on your show." Okay. Well, I did take a look at it briefly here. It's a charter rewrite, Shirley, is what this is. And shall the voters of the city of Gold Hill approve of a revised city charter? They're rewriting it and doing all sorts of things. And this was the result of a charter review task force. Last time charter amendments were approved there in Gold Hill, 1988. So it's been a while, 34, 35, 36 years, actually, right? City is proposing these amendments to modernize the city's charter and ensure that the city's operations conform to the latest Oregon laws. So that's probably something which is necessary, parts of it. Now, the part that you're working with, though, that you're talking about or being concerned, is the city recorder. And the part there changes the city recorder's position from a council-appointed position to a city manager-appointed position. So instead of the city council picking it, the manager would pick it. That would be Lily Morgan in this particular case. The city manager should have direct responsible charge over the city recorder. This is the process many other cities use. It is and is more efficient, given that a city manager will be administering the city's daily operations. Huh. Why would it be more efficient? I mean, I suppose you know, if you're the city manager, you'd like just to handpick everybody on your staff. I guess maybe that is the part of that. Let's see, what else is that? They would also keep the provision for a municipal judge, but allows the council. You know something? I'll tell you what I'll do, Shirley. I will have to take a look at the full text of it, because I think what is in here is just a basic explanation, and there's a lot of hidden stuff that can be hidden in just the basic explanation. Well, this is what the charter does. And then if you actually look at the full text on the cityofgoldhill.gov, it may have a few wrinkles. I'll take a look at that over the weekend and get back to you. It's probably okay, but I'm not sure yet, all right? It's probably okay. But as far as changing the city recorder position from a council-appointed to a city manager-appointed position, I don't know. I would hope that the city council had the brains to be able to pick a good city recorder. But I guess the whole idea of having a city manager is that you're paying her or him, you know, $110,000 a year plus PERS in order for you to not have to think too hard about these kind of positions. Volunteer board, right? Volunteer council. 631 at KMED, 99.3 KBXG. DC Swamp Update, we have that coming up this Friday morning. Rick Manning joins me in a couple.
Joel here from Butler Ford and Truck Center, and I got a couple unbeatable Joel specials on Ford trucks this month. Number one special is an all-new F-150 4x4 for only $377 a month. It's a 36-month lease, which means you get to drive it for 3 years, come back, and trade it in on new.
You see it worse. Call Terra Firma today for a free evaluation.
Visit GoTerraFirma.com.
You're hearing the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
637.
Craziest party that could ever be. Don't turn on the lights, because I don't want to see. I'm not told, and
that's the DC Swamp Update every Friday morning. Rick Manning, President of Americans for Limited Government, DailyTorch.com. Rick, you know, we just had a Terra Firma ad on. Is there enough Terra Firma foam that they could pump underneath the floor that supporting Kamala Harris's campaign at this point? I don't know. I don't know if there's... If there's much help, I don't know if there are enough foundation jacks and things that could jack her up into position.
Well, yeah, you've got a point. It's a she is. I am actually surprised, pleasantly surprised, that with the massive buildup she got, with every institutional prop that you can possibly put up under her to try to make her, you know, the candidate against the candidate who they've spent, and I say they, establishment media and establishment politicians, have spent 9 years demonizing.
Literal Hitler, remember, literal Hitler.
Well, and that's a and that's a point that we should talk about later because that's important. But it is a, and yet, three or four of the last national polls have shown him Trump beating her and on the plurality.
Yeah. Well, let me play
disastrous.
I know. Let me play a bite of this from the Anderson Cooper talk, the town hall. From the other day, and he ends up asking questions which should have been asked for a long, long time. But anyway, here's some of it.
Is a border wall stupid?
Well, let's talk about Donald Trump and that border wall. So remember, Donald Trump said Mexico would pay for it? Come on, they didn't. How much of that wall did he build? I think the last number I saw is about 2%. And then when it came time for him to do a photo op, you know where he did it? In the part of the wall that President Obama built.
But you're agreeing to a bill that would earmark $650 million to continue building that wall.
I pledge that I am going to bring forward that bipartisan bill to further strengthen and secure our border. Yes, I am. But, and I'm going to work across the aisle to pass a comprehensive bill that deals with a broken immigration system. I think Jackson's question, part of it was to acknowledge that America has always had migration, but there needs to be a legal process for it.
First off, I'm astounded that she says that that we need a legal process to do it.
Wow. I guess the million that come across legally now don't count. But let's just dissect what she said in a few different ways. First of all, in terms of the border wall, it was the Democrats that shut down the government to block funding of the border wall. Just to be clear, it was the Democrats, Kamala Harris being one of them in the Senate.
Yeah, that sure went down the memory hole. That went down the memory hole, didn't it? Right?
Yeah, they conveniently forget that. It was Joe Biden and Kamala Harris who had the materials to continue building the border wall, all paid for. All they had to do was put the labor to actually install it. They sold the materials at a loss, by the way. They sold the materials that were sitting there on site ready to be installed. They sold them. They let them sit there and then eventually sold them off. So that's, that was money that was already spent that they wasted. In terms of her talking about the border wall and the bill that Anderson Cooper talked about, the border wall never would have gotten built under that bill because the way they set it up, they were going to look at it in 2029 to see what the needs were, to see if a border wall needed to be, what they needed to do. Okay, 2029. There was no intent to build a border wall. And in fact, what that bill was intended to do was to make it so Donald Trump would not be able to build a border wall.
That bill was designed to be never be passed by the Republicans either. Okay. Well, there are some Republicans that would have passed that.
Like the Gang of Eight bill.
Yeah.
That some people negotiated. Marco Rubio got stuck with and leading the charge on and got kind of.
Was that the one that John McCain was involved in too? Was it that far back?
Yeah.
In which, listen, you friends, listen, my friends, if you were paid $50 an hour to go pick lettuce out there, you wouldn't do it. You wouldn't do it, my friends. And so in order to.
But the bill that she's talking about, she keeps defaulting back to this great bill, allowed 1.8 million illegal aliens to come across the border every single year.
Wow.
Okay. So what we're talking about is about 7.3 million in a four-year term. That's not counting the gotaways. Those are encounters at the border.
No, these are ones that you're actually permitting in, Yes, which means you have more.
Which means you have more than that. It would institutionalize the flow of illegal immigrants that we have had in the Biden administration. That's what it would have done. And it would have made it legal. At least it would have put a stamp of legality to it. And you would never be able to stop it because that would be the law. So when you get down to it, yeah, she supports that. It puts into the law exactly what they've been doing in terms of flooding our cities with illegal immigrants. And it ends, by the way, any chance to actually get a sane immigration policy in place, which deals with some things like chain migration and the fact that the legal immigration in this country is overwhelmingly driven by through chain migration, which means if you got here, if you managed to get here, then you can invite all your relatives over,
mm-hmm.
which disproportionately benefits certain nations and adversely impacts other nations. Almost impossible to get Europeans over here, for instance, because guess what? It's a chain migration system where most of the legal immigrants are coming or relatives of people who came here many times illegally.
Yeah, yeah, they're coming from the third world too. They're coming mostly from the third world. I think you also have to be honest. They're coming from the third world.
That certainly what I said. You can't get Europeans here. That's the implication. That's exactly what's happened, and it is so we have a legal immigration system. It's broken, but we do have a legal immigration system. We have people who are legitimately becoming citizens every single day in this country, going the right way. But let me just ask any reasonable person, if you have to wait 10 years in line to get in legally, and you can walk across the border or be bused across the border, or you can get a plane flight to take you across the border, sponsored by the United States government, be handed all the all the benefits of such welfare benefits, as well as the capacity to work and everything else as part of your welcome packet for being coming on under asylum. If you were going to do that, who waits the 10 years? I mean, you're an idiot if you wait for the regular immigration system to work. So the only way the regular immigration system can possibly work is if we stop the illegal immigration system in its tracks. And then we have to have a discussion because the immigration system is broken in this country. We need to fix it. That doesn't mean you get rid of all chain migration. What you do is you have to create an environment where we at least have a capacity to have people be able to come based on merit, based on and have people be able to say, hey, I'm a doctor, I'm a nurse,
Yeah, I get that. Could I talk to you about that a little bit, though? Rick McManning, president of Americans for Limited Government, DailyTorch.com. This is something I want the right wing, the conservatives, be very careful about there, too, in which they talk about the merit base, right? Because I think even the merit-based system has been abused, especially when you look at the tech bros of the world, you know, the tech bros of Silicon Valley.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
Essentially, STEM, we tell all the American kids to go out there, get your STEM degree so you can go and code and work in Silicon Valley and do all the rest of this. And then if you do get into Silicon Valley, then you end up being replaced. You're being replaced, but forced to train the immigrant from Bangalore. You know, a lot of East Indians seem to, come through this system. In fact, there was one tech firm that just got fined or got taken to court, I think, and lost big time because essentially they had Indians running the tech firm, and all they would do is hire Indians in, come
right.
in. And they used the H-1 and H-2B systems to end up conducting this. And so,
let me answer that question because I spent a lot of time on that during the Trump administration.
Yeah.
I was involved in a number of meetings in the Trump administration while they're crafting a comprehensive immigration reform plan. And every single meeting I went into was with the singular idea to make certain that the merit-based stuff they were doing could not be used to do something which Donald Trump specifically campaigned and mentioned in campaigns, and that is the replacement of American workers with lower-cost foreign workers to do coding and run IT departments and the like. Because does happen. That's real. And and every conversation I had in there was about that. It was the one thing I go in there and care about. because I didn't know much about anything, but I knew we couldn't be replacing American workers with lower, you know, with lower cost foreign workers who then could be shuffled, basically shuffled out in 3 years for the next.
Well, and then, or else also yeah. being told, well, we need a pathway to citizenship for these people, you know, that
right.
kind of thing.
Well, those yeah. are, that's the other piece of it. There's a, but there's a, and in building out the system that Trump was building out, and I don't know if they ever got the bill introduced or not, but we spent 4 years working on it. In building out this system he was working out, it was very, very protective of the idea that workers should not be imported based upon, you know, replacing American workers. There had to be, and that was a, you know, that was a fundamental concept in it. Doesn't mean it couldn't be abused, but that was a first of mind. You know, the challenge is, you know, you let's just take a circumstance, Venezuela, or Ukraine. Let's just say, assume there's some kind of implosion in a country where there's a problem. And they've got a bunch of people who are scientists and technology people.
So we're not talking about Haiti at this time, right?
Right. We're not talking about Haiti now.
Right.
And you say, we have a desire to get these people into our country. In post-World War II, we had a capacity to do that. Today, we do not have a capacity to do that legally unless we declare them, give them some level of political asylum and have them and fly them in that way. It is a, but there's no normal way for if somebody sits there and says, you know, I don't like the way my country is going and I want to immigrate to America to legally do so unless you claim you're being abused and about to be shot. And that's not, you know, kind of, yeah, we should include people who are in those circumstances. But we have to get people who want to move to America for the right reasons to have a capacity to get here. And we don't have that now. And it's stupid. Our immigration system is, at its core, stupid. And we have to figure out how to fix it. And Trump had people, very smart people, working on it. And
you think he'll have smart people working on it again, assuming he gets in the way it's looking?
Stephen Miller's going to be there, so yeah.
Okay. All right. If Stephen Miller's there, good. All right. I don't worry about it. Okay.
I hope the guy who was running the project goes back in. He was brilliant, but that's a different story. I don't know what's happened to him in the last 4 years. That's a problem. But Kamala wants people to believe that, there was this magical wand that was going to be raised, and it was going to build a wall, it's going to do all this. It was specific. That bill was specifically designed to make it so Donald Trump had no control over our nation's immigration policy. Let's be clear. It was not designed to deal with immigration. It was designed to stop Donald Trump from being able to deal with immigration. That's what that bill was designed to do. That's what that bill would have done. And and that's why Donald Trump, when he came to realize what they were doing and what was in it, he called up people and he said, you can't let this bill pass.
Yeah, it wasn't about running out of problem, which is what Kamala, you know, claimed during the Biden administration was claiming. Oh, he just wants the immigration situation to run on. Of course, you know, the interesting part before we get on, and we're going to shift away from immigration right now because I want to get to the Hitler thing in just a moment, okay?
Sure.
But I think my favorite part, though, of the Anderson Cooper little talk, though, was the sort of stuff that we've been saying, and he actually said it.
Some voters, though, might ask, you've been in the White House for 4 years. You were vice president, not the president. But why wasn't any of that done in the last 4 years?
Well, there was a lot that was done, but there's more to do, Anderson. And I'm pointing out things that need to be done that haven't been done, but need to be done.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that need to be done, Anderson. Boy, she's taking her little kind of like working a little sexy, vampy kind of thing going on. I don't get that. But at least he said it.
Yep, he said it, and it's a question people have been asking. You know, I'm going to just, you know, kind of a truth moment here. The vice president doesn't do anything, okay? So, no, that doesn't mean they can't push initiatives.
But remember, she would do nothing differently
from the Biden administration. She would do nothing.
Right?
She's the one who said she would do nothing differently than the Biden administration. She's the one who went out and made kind of the most pathetic argument for Bidenomics is working. She's the one who spent, who talked about she's going to solve inflation by putting wage controls into place or price controls into place. She's the one who, you know, she owns. She's the one who's specifically told, just like Joe Biden was specifically told to be the Ukraine czar and profited nicely from it. Mm-hmm. She was the one who was told to be the border czar, and she couldn't even figure out how to monetize it, let alone get anything done. She was partially right that you have to deal with the, you know, countries that are around the border and not just, you know, worry about enforcing the border. What she was wrong on is Donald Trump was actually doing that. That's how come you end up with a remain in Mexico policy working. That's why the president of Guatemala, president of Honduras, president of Panama were all part of an effort to try to stem illegal immigration. Because believe it or not, the president, and it's also why we've lost our allies in Guatemala and Honduras, who are no longer allies of the United States. They elected, you know, far left commies. But under Trump, they wanted to work with us to build their economies. Why? Very simple. If you're sitting there and you're in Guatemala and your young male population is leaving, impregnating your women and leaving for America, what you have is you have a population then that is in trouble demographically.
Ah.
You know, and so you are destroying their capacity to exist as a country. And it was a disaster for places like Guatemala and Honduras that had massive pockets of poverty that were based upon men having children with women, leaving to America and essentially disappearing, and the women with, you know, basically with children being stuck as the state having to try to take care of them.
Yeah, welfare charges. Yeah, yeah.
It was basically a hollowing out of the capacity of those Central American countries to actually exist.
So Central American countries would actually like to work with a next Trump administration because it strengthens their ability to exist as a country.
Before they elected communist leadership, because we're not in the business of preventing that anymore. We're in the business of hunting down J6 people. But that's a different problem.
All right. Hey, before we take off, though.
We had an opportunity to do what she said. Let's talk about Hitler.
Yeah, exactly. And Robert Romano, your colleague over at Americans for Limited Government, has an interesting piece up there. Kamala Harris recklessly playing the Hitler card. And, of course, this, you kind of figured this was going to go there. And what that's really indicative of is that they got nothing. And they must be seeing internal polls that just don't look really good. I mean, that's the only reason you pulled out the Hitler card, isn't it?
Yeah, they're afraid. The biggest fear that the left has is that Donald Trump will do to them what they did to him.
Exactly.
Okay? That's their biggest fear. And so this is, in some respects, inoculating against that. But I just want to put this into context. We've had two attempts on Donald Trump's life. One missed by a quarter of an inch of killing him. The other was a guy waited out 20, for 18 hours or something, staked out a place on the golf course, and Donald Trump was one hole away from being in his sight lines. That is we've seen a Bernie Sanders crazed person hunt down Republicans that are practicing. Softball game.
Mm-hmm.
Indiscriminately shooting people. And oh, by the way, the only reason there wasn't every Republican on the field didn't die was because Steve Scalise was there, who happened to have armed security with him, had Capitol Police escort because he was in leadership. And so there were two good guys with guns, Capitol policemen, who were there to defended the rest. And, you know, you had a lot of injuries, and Scalise nearly lost his life over it. Mm-hmm. But this guy had the intent of killing every single one of them. And he was driven by the rhetoric of the left. Mark Halperin, journalist, saying there's, you know,
there's going to be like a mental meltdown breakdown when Trump wins. If Trump wins,
the left is mentally ill. This is his argument. The left is mentally ill, and if you elect Trump, there's going to be this massive psychological breakdown of the left that will cause violence. And And somehow that's supposed to encourage us to elect them. The fact that they have, you know, they have developed and lifted up.
Well, I say bring their psychological breakdown on and bring it down hard. Okay. And then because at this point, obviously they're going to need some help. And so we're going to have to help our mentally ill brethren. Okay.
And I put that into the context of Joe Biden the day after Kamala went off and called Trump Hitler. Joe Biden the next day said, we must jail him. And then pause.
Politically jail him.
You can't politically jail somebody. That's not possible.
Well, I'm not so sure about that because I would say the January 6 people have been politically jailed.
Okay, that's being a political prisoner.
Okay.
Politically, his backup was to say, I don't mean jail like physically. I mean keep him from walls from him getting power. But that's not what he said. That's not what he meant. That's not what his administration has attempted to do for the last 4 years. So given that, given the fact that we know what they are willing to do, given the fact that they can control the means to do so, given the fact they're willing to – they totally blown up the First Amendment, want to censor anybody who actually has a different thought and drive them out of the ability to be in the public square, those things all come together to what the real problem is they're projecting. You know, they are absolutely 100% projecting as to what they will do, and they're fearful that Donald Trump will do it. My prediction is that, you know, Donald Trump will seek to make it so the government employees can't block his policies just because they've got, you know, immunity from being fired. He's definitely going to stop and try to stop that.
Oh, yeah. And you'd be foolish if you didn't try to take down that administrative state.
But I think his offer, his statement the other day that he would be willing to pardon Hunter Biden is indicative of a guy who's sitting there and saying, you know, as much as I'd like to get revenge on my enemies, it is better for this country if we take the Christian mode.
I would agree to an extent, but here's the problem, though, with doing that, is that there's no incentive for them to not do it again.
Let me be clear.
Yeah.
Those who violated their public trust and abused and engaged in lawfare in an attempt to gain political advantage should be prosecuted.
Okay.
Okay. Should Hunter Biden be prosecuted for being a petty criminal?
And a cokehead.
No. I mean, that's a
crackhead.
That's the difference.
Okay, so you're talking about doing the healing where you can. The people who really committed the big crimes, you take them down. Okay, all right.
You take the ones who abuse power. Because that's the threat to democracy. They want to talk about threats to democracy, threats to the American way of life. Abusing your power to prosecute your political opponents and using the government as a means to do so is, in fact, the threat to the American governmental system, our constitutional government system.
Agreed. Now, is that
Richard Nixon was impeached because he had the idea of using the IRS against his enemies? He didn't do it. He had an idea.
But he had the idea, but he did not do it. So let me bring this up here as we close then. Is this why Ron DeSantis is suing Merrick Garland, Department of Justice, for blocking the investigation, their investigation of the second Donald Trump assassination? And should Merrick Garland be looking over his shoulder when Trump gets into office?
I think Merrick Garland has a lot of explaining to do. He is somebody who has been a principal in the obstruction of and the attempt to use the law to overturn the American governmental system. And in the old days before the internet existed, there'd be a big burn box going on outside the attorney general's office. But but I'm sure that a lot of records they're desperately seeking how to kill a lot of records, because a record keeping violation is far less severe than what I think we may have.
Yeah. In other words, the answer to my question is, he should be looking over his shoulder. Yeah, okay.
If I were Merrick Garland, I would not feel very comfortable about my retirement.
Yeah, I would agree with you, and I certainly hope that's the case, because all I could say is that as much as I dislike Mitch McConnell, thank goodness that he stopped Merrick Garland from getting a lifetime on the Supreme Court. Can you imagine that little troll, that communist troll, just you're rolling over the Constitution there on the court?
I remember what they all said about him. He was this moderate, respected jurist who by the way, was he had so many, as we learn more about this moderate, respected jurist, it's astonishing the things he had his fingers on that were part of the Trump, the anti-Trump warfare, and actually the way back when, the Obama administration getting approvals from the circuit court there in D.C. I'm going to tell you, Bill, the answer in a lot of this is we need to end the circuit with the district court in D.C. and not get rid of the super district court, make it a and give the cases that are
just spread it out to the other districts,
right? The other courts.
I would agree with you too. That would help a lot.
Federal prosecutions in D.C. We have to get rid of all those things because you have that's the fetid market.
Oh, that's the deep state. Yeah, that is the deep state court. That's the deep state court right there, and that's where they always want to take these things. All right. Now, one more thing. I know that you'll be happy, you know, to hear this because Senator Ron Wyden, our favorite senator down here, Senator Snagglepuss. Is going after McDonald's now. Of course, this is right after Trump ended up doing the drive-through PR deal right. The other day. That was so great. It was just wonderful, just wonderful. And now I'm going to go get them for a price fixing. Is what he's doing. So I'm glad that Senator Ron Wyden's focusing on the important work of Congress in the Senate.
Well, yeah, it's.
You can't tell me that's not in. You can't tell me that's not punishment. That's not punishment.
Oh, absolutely. How dare you stand up to us? I mean, just as a simple point, the guy who owned the franchise that he allowed Trump to come into, that guy has been, they've had to take down his WELP comments because people from across the nation have been, you know, destroying him online.
On Yelp, yeah.
There is and so they're trying to put this franchisee out of business because he had a former president of the United States hand fries out the door, out the window, and as a PR stunt. Kamala could have gone and done that. The problem she has is
no one would believe her.
Had the employee.
She can't. Well, she can't play authentic. She can't play authentic American. It doesn't work.
But the real problem she has is she's already gone through the employee training and she wouldn't remember any of it.
Okay. On that note, you win the interwebs for today, this morning. Hey, thank you so much, Rick. Rick Manning, President of Americans for Limited Government, DailyTorch.com. Read up, cartoons, so much more, great analysis, DailyTorch.com. And thank you. Have a wonderful weekend. I know it's going to be all elections all the time until it's all done, all right? This is KMED, KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG, Grants Pass. Appreciate you waking up here.
This is Lisa from Kelly's Automotive Service in Grants Pass in Medford. A woman was traveling on I-5 recently and started hearing a noise. She was, of course, worried about hotel and repair costs, but it turned out to be a simple issue and we got her back on the road with no charge, a bottle of water, and some snacks. Well done, Grants Pass. This is exactly what it means to be good stewards. Dave and I are so proud of you. Kelly's Automotive Service, where we service your vehicle, but take care of you.
When you call Fontana Roofing, our singular focus is a focus. You have questions, we have answers.
Hello, you've reached Fontana Roofing. How may I help you? Yes, we install a plethora of roofs. Traditional, composite, metal, tile, shake, you name it. All types of buildings, whether it's a re-roof or new construction. Yeah, we can fabricate and